Thanks for downloading Think from KERA 90.1 Dallas-Fort Worth. You can learn more and support this program at kera.org.
Funding for Think is made possible by SMU Informal Courses for Adults.
You're listening to Think on KERA 90.1. I'm Chris Boyd. We have today with us for a second full hour Brian Garner. He's a lexicographer, author of Black's Law Dictionary, author of Garner's Modern American Usage, author of the Oxford Dictionary of American Usage and Style. All three of those works are available today with our compliments when you join us at the $120 level. If you want to become a sustaining member, that's $10 a month that will be automatically transferred from your checking account. Very easy to become a member at 1-800-456-5372. You can also do it online. There is a support page right off the homepage of kera.org. And a lot of you today are calling and letting us know you're a member. You are emailing and including this in your email. I'm going to start reading all of those of you who tell us that you're members. And I want to say thank you. Thank you if I have never acknowledged it. And thank you if it's just happening right now for being a supporting member of this station. It matters. And we need 45 members this hour, whether that means you are joining us for the first time. Welcome to the fold. We are thrilled to have you as part of this public radio community. If you are renewing an old membership that you've had for decades, we're thrilled to have you. However it works out, we are very happy to hear from you as a member today. We have an email here from Scott, who is a KERA member in Dallas. Please discuss the correct usage of the word email and if email messages is actually the plural of email instead of emails.
Well, first of all, let's talk about the hyphen, which I strongly support. And, you know, it, ultimately, Yahoo and all the other Google and all the people who supply email messages, however they spell it, and we all stare at it on the screen, whatever the predominant form is, ultimately will prevail. But e-mail has logic behind it and analogy, and the Chicago Manual of Style recommends e-mail, and so do most dictionaries. Ultimately, the hyphen may well disappear. Whether you can say I have three emails versus you must say I have three email messages. It's just very cumbersome to use the whole expression, email messages. And even though you wouldn't say I have several mails.
When you're you wouldn't in my mailbox. Yeah,
that's right.
I got many mail. I think my four-year-old might say that.
It is, I think, perfectly proper to refer to emails as email messages. So I think it's pedantry to think otherwise.
Let me ask you this. I, years ago, worked for one of the hip, new, cool internet companies when it was all fresh and new. And, of course, the cool thing for a while was to start your company with a lowercase letter. So on subsequent resumes, I would have to the correct way to write it according to the way the company actually branded itself was with a lowercase letter. Of course, I didn't have access to the font and things like that. How do you handle something like that later on when you realize people may not recognize that, in fact, the company itself branded with a lowercase letter?
I think the proper view of that is that it is that is a question of a logo. And people can capitalize however they want to on a logo. But if I had to write a letter to K.D. Lang, I would capitalize her name. You can't, I don't think, a company or an individual can just decide, I'm going to lowercase my name. E.E. Cummings even preferred that people capitalize his name, even though he did publish some books with the lowercase, and it was in some of his poetry that way. He also believed that his own name should be capitalized in ordinary English, and the president of the E.E. Cummings Society has written about this. But people who insist on lowercasing E.E. Cummings as if they're in the know, they're just not quite in the know.
Oh, this whole day is about really like beating us down. Those of us who think that we are snoots are in fact perhaps only snoot wannabes. But if you are a true snoot, we would love to hear from you today. 1-800-933-5372. If you are a KERA member to be, call 1-800-456-5372 and make it official. Let's talk to Lynn in Plano. Hi, Lynn.
Well, hi. Well, I've been a member not quite as long since Bob Ray was a baby, because I'm not quite that old, but I've been a member since 1993.
Oh, well, welcome and thank you.
And I've gone through a lot of changes with the station, but I still listen quite frequently.
Oh, that's great.
My question is, where did the term come into vogue, or the term went missing, in regards to people, babies, animals, or whatever that are missing? I don't recall that being in wide use, let's say even 5 years ago. And I'm just wondering, what is the etymology of that, and is it really correct, and is there another alternative? Second question is, I've heard a lot of news anchors here locally, when they say the word tomorrow, they don't say tomorrow. They just say something that leaves off the T. I can't even really pronounce it myself, but I've heard that so much on the local news station. I just wonder what's going on with that.
Lynn, what is your closest attempt to say tomorrow the way they do?
Tomorrow.
Mm-hmm. With just a very slight T at the beginning of it.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Well, tomorrow is, I think, to go ahead and say tomorrow, accenting the T-O, I think, is really not the best pronunciation. I think it's tomorrow. Went missing, if I'm correct, originated as an Australianism. And it may well have come in with Crocodile Dundee. I'm not quite sure, but I know that it was used in British English, British varieties of English, and I think Australian English before it became very popular in the United States. And it is sort of a useful little expression to say something has mysteriously disappeared, has gone missing.
It sort of becomes missing, I guess, is the closest way you can explain it.
Yeah.
That always sounds very slangy to me, so it's interesting to hear you endorse it. I'll have to work that into my everyday speech.
It's an idiom.
1-800-933-5372 is our telephone number if you have a question about an idiom or anything else. You can also send an email to think@kera.org. Marcia asks, when I'm unable to hear what a person says, I will ask, beg your pardon or sorry. A common Texas response in this context is, do what? This expression always throws me off as I stop to think for a split second what I'm supposed to be doing. How could this expression have originated?
Well, that's another funny idiom. I think it is typical of sort of countrified speech. Somebody says, I'm going to drive to Amarillo tomorrow. You say, do what? Or somebody says something that you didn't understand. You say, do what? That's a regionalism. I think it's typical of sort of Texas regional dialect, and it may well be broader than just Texas. But it is not the kind of thing that you would expect most educated speakers to use.
We have another quiz for the hour. Is that correct? While you're pulling that together, I will remind everyone that we need 42 listeners to call now with support. 1-800-456-5372 is the telephone number. You learn something every single day on KERA 90.1. Certainly, we hope that you learn many things on Think, this program that we are so proud of. So many of you have been wonderful and very open to accepting the new show, and we are thrilled to know that you have stayed with us and are still listening. It's important that we also hear from you in a really important, concrete way as a member of the station. Please call 1-800-456-5372. You can choose one of three books by Brian Garner as your thank you gift at the $120 membership level. We have the Oxford Dictionary of American Usage and Style. That's 384 pages. We also have Garner's Modern American Usage. That is 848 pages. And if you really just want a page-for-page value for your $120 pledge, we have Black's Law Dictionary, the 8th edition. That is 1,810 pages. All of those things, each of those can be yours. You may choose one if you join at the $120 level. As a sustaining member, that's just $10 a month that gets transferred from your checking account. It's really easy to do, to set up. Your membership is really, really important to the health of the station and to our ability to continue to bring you the programming that you care about. Remember that you can ask the volunteers on the phone about all the other thank you gifts gifts as well at multiple levels. You can join us at the $1,500 level, become a friend. There are lots of ways that we have to say thanks. It is important to us that you call and join and become a member or renew your membership. We really do count on that support. And of course, you can go online to kera.org. It's a great place to get it all taken care of and be doing some other things at the same time. Let's go and find out, Brian, the questions in your next quiz. And I have to say, hour one was sort of a humiliating failure for me. So I'm hoping that hour two, I will be able to restore my own self-esteem.
Well, I hope so too, Chris. Three pronunciations.
Okay.
The first is the word beginning with an E that means to avoid. How do you pronounce it? E-S-C-H-E-W. So that's the first one. The second one is the adjective corresponding to paradigm. So P-A-R-I-D-I-G-M-A-T-I-C. Paradigm, how do you pronounce the adjective corresponding to it? The third is the instrument used in the French Revolution to behead people. It starts with a G. How do you say it? G-U-I-L-L-O-T-I-N-E. But what is the pronunciation? So E-S-C-H-E-W, the adjective for paradigm, and the beheading machine that starts with a G.
Okay.
Second, some spelling words. How do you spell? And again, we caution the viewers, the listeners, don't look these things up. The whole idea is to test your snootitude.
Exactly.
The soup that starts with a B, bouillon. How do you, or bouillon, how do you spell it? How do you spell frolicking and ecstasy? Bullion, frolicking, and ecstasy.
Okay. Now, I knew how to spell bullion until just now when you asked me. All right. Okay. We will get the – I have written – I have made my notes, and I hope if you were behind the wheel of an automobile, you have not made such notes. But we will get the answers to these toward the end of the hour. So we are not having you call in an answer. We'll just all sort of share the answers together and hopefully share our delight at how brilliant we are. I'm concerned once again that I will have to leave the hour needing to really bone up on some of this. But let's – once again, we have many, many, many people many people are calling and asking what snoot means. Don't tell us because – we will let you know when you call and make a pledge. When you call 1-800-456-5372, the volunteers on the phone will be able to remind you what snoot stands for. And we will hold that information hostage. We rarely do this around here. We like to freely disseminate information. But in this case, we will see if that works. What do you think?
I think it's a good idea. But I would say, for those who want to read the original David Foster Wallace essay, it's just been published in this book called Consider the Lobster, and it's a collection of essays. Wallace is a very lively, interesting writer, has a big article on English usage in his book Consider the Lobster.
I have to know about the title, but I guess we can maybe why does he call it Consider the Lobster?
Well, one of his essays is about exactly what happens to lobsters when you drop them into boiling water. Do they feel pain? And if you read that essay, you're likely never to eat lobster again, I'm afraid.
Wow. So we'll have to think long and hard about whether we actually want to read that one. Okay. And quickly before we take our next break, I'm curious as to whether you think that British English and American English are becoming more or less like each other. And maybe we can throw in Australian English and all that. Are all the Englishes more united now by things like shared culture?
I think so. There is a dispute even among professional linguists. Robert Birchfield, the editor-in-chief of the Oxford English Dictionary, believed that British English and American English would be mutually unintelligible. The speakers would not understand each other 300 or 400 years from now. I believe that English is becoming a world language and that they're growing closer.
Those of you who are online now to complain about my use of the word Englishes, I'm aware that it was incorrect.
It's actually all right to talk about world English, different Englishes. It's
all right.
Yeah.
I'm vindicated once. Okay. 1-800-456-5372 is the telephone number to become one of our newest members or a renewing member. We'll be back in just a minute.
Funding Funding for Think is made possible by SMU Informal Courses for Adults, offering a chance to explore the world from the SMU campus. You can learn more online at smu.edu/think.
You're listening to Think on KERA 90.1, a program that is made possible by people just like you who listen every day, perhaps during their lunch hour, perhaps running around and doing errands. And you are the person who can make it continue to be strong by calling 1-800-456-5372. You can also join us online, kera.org. There is a support page there. You click through. You can make it really easy on yourself by choosing a variety of levels. The thing about public broadcasting, you have probably noticed, even if you are relatively new to public radio, that we don't have commercials for diet pills and car dealerships and soda, and not that there's anything wrong with any of those things, but we have a different model. We were set up so that we would be supported mostly by the people who consume the product, people just like you, so that we are not beholden to sponsors in the traditional sense. We also, aside from these membership fundraising drives, spend a lot less of your time in an average day raising money for the station, which is, we think, a very good thing because it allows you to have uninterrupted content most of the year. We are, I see a number in front of me, 53% comes from listeners like you who support the station because you listen and because you know that it's something that's important in your life. People like Manuel in Dallas, Brandy and James and Judy and Shannon, all from Dallas, who have called and supported the station with a pledge of support. We have levels of membership that start, I think official membership starts at $35 a year. We have people call and give us thousands of dollars or go online. You know exactly what amount is correct for you, but it really is critical that all of you who listen support the mission of this station and support our ability to bring you informative shows every day, things that add to your life, things that allow you to hear from people like Brian Garner and all the amazing guests that we have scheduled for you every single day, week in and week out on Think and also across the rest of our broadcast schedule. We work very hard because we know this is important to you. It's important to us as well. And we need to raise the money it takes to continue to be strong. As soon as we do that in this fundraising drive, we'll quit. We'll be done for now. We're not going to go a dollar over what we need. We just need to get to that goal of $240,000. So look, if it's time for you to renew your membership, do it sooner rather than later and help build the momentum that all of us can share and get this taken care of. That telephone number again is 1-800-456-5372. We need 39 more listeners. We need 36 more listeners in this hour. That's sort of a lot, but if you can help us and be one of them, we will be able to chip right away at that goal. Our guest is Brian Garner. Remember that when you join at the $120 level or above, you can choose as your thank you one of three of Brian's books. You can talk to the volunteers on the phone about what they are. We also have some other things if you are already in possession of everything that Brian Garner has ever written. And we will now return to our conversation. We have an email from Gretchen who asks, which is correct? It happened by accident or it happened on accident? I will confess, by the way, on accident, giant pet peeve for me. Gretchen writes, I hear teenagers say on, but it doesn't sound right.
How about just saying accidentally?
Well, see, there you go.
But, you know, I don't hear on accident. The traditional idiom is by accident.
I think little kids say it all the time.
Do they really?
Because they hear, I did it on purpose. So they think I did it. I've never heard a little kid say by purpose, but.
So it's sort of a false analogy to on purpose, but by accident. I see. That's interesting.
Yeah. But you actually prefer accidentally.
Well.
To either one.
By accident is fine. But by accident would be the idiom, or accidentally, yeah.
Okay. 1-800-933-5372 is the telephone number. Let's talk to Dwayne in McKinney. Hi, Dwayne.
Yes.
Hi.
I have a question about the usage of the apostrophe after words that end in an S informing the possessive. For example, I see some people say Jesus's disciple as opposed to Jesus' possessive disciples. What is the determining rule on that? And the other thought I have is while in the Philippines, a long time ago, I noticed that they use the word fetch, which, go to get someone and bring them to you, to fetch them. They use it I thought what a good word it was, and I assume they learned their English from us in the World War II, and I wondered about the disappearance of that usage in America. Those are my two questions.
Thanks, Wayne.
Well, on the possessive for a word ending in S, a name, say Jones, John Jones's book, S apostrophe S, is what all the non-journalist authorities would recommend. The AP style book, and journalists tend to add just the apostrophe for a word ending in S. So they will say John Jones book, S apostrophe. So you have split authorities on that. Book publishers will tend to make it S apostrophe S. Unless, there are two exceptions. If it's a classical or biblical name, so Jesus' suffering would be S apostrophe, no S, even according to the book publishers, or classical names like Aristophanes. We don't say Aristophanes' plays. And the other exception is a word formed from a plural like General Motors. If you talk about General Motors' cars, it's not appropriate to put S apostrophe S for a word that originated as a plural. But generally speaking, I prefer the S after the apostrophe. As for fetch, it's perfectly good British English. In fact, Britons will tell you, I'll fetch you at 4 o'clock or whenever it is they're going to pick you up. In American English, that word has sort of sunk to the level of almost dialect. It's not typical of educated speech. So snoots in America tend not to use it, but British snoots will say fetch.
We have I'm going to assume that Robert, who is writing to us, or rather Tessa, who is writing to us now, is in fact a snoot. I'll give this to her. She is. She says, by the way, that you are right that English and American are becoming closer in language. I notice this every time I go home to England. And she is a KERA member, precisely, she says, because of programs like this. So thanks for being with us, Brian. What makes her crazy is, here's this expression. The problem is that what I think is that people use the word is twice. And I'm guessing that what she, there are times when it's okay to repeat the verb and there are times that it is not. Because my thought is that, I'm completely losing my ability to control the language. If you say what the problem, okay. So when is it acceptable to repeat the verb? Because there is one case in which it is and many cases in which people do it accidentally.
Typically.
On accident.
Typically, what it is, there you'd repeat it. But the doubled is, which is a strange phenomenon. It started in the 1980s. Linguists call it the reduplicative copula, believe it or not.
Wow.
The reduplicative, that's a mouthful, copula. And a lot of people do say, what I meant is that. And it's almost a stuttering effect. It's a very strange phenomenon. I think that snoots are not guilty of the is in most circumstances, unless, as you say, it's grammatically required.
And that is, again, called the reduplicative copula.
Yeah.
All right. Wow, that is a $5 phrase, if ever I've heard one. Perhaps it's a $5 a month phrase on the sustaining membership program that we have. 1-800-456-5372 is the telephone number. And if you are already a current member and it's not time for you to renew, we really appreciate you sticking with us and sticking with the programming. But if it's time for you to renew or time for you to become a member, it is high time, I would say. So please think about joining us right now. And you might even be able to contribute to the early end of the membership drive. 1-800-933-5372 is the phone number if you'd like to ask a question. Or in the case of Bill in Dallas, perhaps you'd like to beg a question. Hi, Bill.
Hi, how are you?
Fine, thank you.
My question is this. I read in very fancy newspapers, such as the New York Times, people using the phrase begging the question or to beg the question as a synonym for to invite the question. And to me, that's wrong. I've always thought of begging the question as being a very useful term for the logical fallacy that involves circular reasoning, and I don't like the fact that that is being rendered kind of an ambiguous term now, and I'm wondering what Brian thinks about that.
I'm with you. to say you're begging the question, some people use it to mean evading the question or ignoring the question. That's bad usage. Snoots don't do that. But to beg the question is to assume as a fact something that's very much every bit as much at issue as what you're trying to prove. And it is a logical fallacy, as you say. There's actually a $5 name for that logical fallacy. Can I say what it is?
Yeah, maybe make it a $10.
Well, I say it. It's embarrassing sometimes to point the, but the logical fallacy is called petitio principii. And I'm sort of embarrassed even to point it out. But it is circular reasoning. And that's the best use of begging the question.
Here's a question I have for you. You spend a lot of your time dealing with attorneys and judges and trying to help them write more clearly. Is it possible that at some point in the future there will be a move to make legal language more like plain language? Or is there really still obviously you have to be clear and there's a certain amount of precision necessary, but will there be a point at which we can all understand what it is that lawyers are trying to talk about?
Well, that's certainly a big part of what I've sort of dedicated my career to doing, is to helping lawyers achieve a plainer style. I don't think that ultimately there's any way to make legal language perfectly comprehensible in all its aspects to everybody on the street. I don't believe that for a moment. But I do know that the very best legal writers do not use this jargon-filled language with things that can easily be simplified. That's almost why I was blushing when I told you, petitio principii, because it's one of these highfalutin
words.
Spell
that for us.
It's like petition without the N on the back.
Okay.
And then principle, but instead of after the second P, it's II, principii.
And there's a hard K there.
It is. It's a hard C, yeah.
A hard C, rather.
So there are very few people are walking around the streets thinking about things like habeas corpus and reverse triangular mergers and a lot of the things that really exist only in law. So it doesn't matter what words you use. If you're talking about habeas corpus, you could call it the seize the body writ, but that is not surely not an improvement. The idea is to make every field more accessible to more people by not using language as a barrier to understanding unnecessarily. So you try to make it as simple as you possibly can without oversimplifying. That's the goal of really good specialists.
We're also trying to make it very simple for you to become a new or renewing member of KERA right now. The telephone number to call is 1-800-456-5372. The email address, the online site is kera.org. You just click on the support button that is right there on our homepage. We need 35 new or renewing members to keep up with our goal for this hour. Look, if you are listening to the very intelligent Brian Garner and his discussion of things, you are clearly what I fondly call a public radio nerd. You are probably a snoot. If not an active snoot, you are one with the potential to be one. Perhaps you just need a little polishing here and there. And you ought to be a member of the station. A listener of the station is great, but it really doesn't help us to continue bringing you the programming that you care about. What really, really helps is a contribution. And it can be a small one, depending on your budget, or perhaps you're in a place where you really can afford it. And you understand that this is your public radio station. This is part of North Texas. It's part of our culture. We serve you not just what takes place all around the world, but also what's happening here in your backyard. You're a big part of the flavor and the tone of the station. And when you become a member, you are also part of the team of people that makes it possible. The reason that you're able to listen right now is because a long line of people before you, and I'm thrilled by the ones who have called and talked about it, have joined as members in the past. It is a very simple thing to do. We've got this way of doing it called our sustaining membership, where you can call and we can arrange to just have your membership amount drawn from your checking account on a monthly basis. So look, if you do $5 or $10 a month, you won't even ever notice that going anywhere. We will really benefit from it. Your public radio station will stay strong, and the amounts that we have to sort of newly collect every time will get smaller and smaller because we know that we can count on your support through the years and from month to month. So please think about that. Call us now at 1-800-456-5372. Think is one example of ways that your really, your support of a program can keep it strong. So please call right now, 1-800-456-5372. Email from Karen says, I am always dismayed at the use of disrespect as a verb. He disrespected me, or worse, he dissed me. Is this ever recognized as correct usage? I am most interested in your reply. And Karen is a member. Thank you, Karen.
Well, that's one. What were you going to say?
I seem to recall that you don't have an issue. Maybe this is someone else, but someone else that we've interviewed, but you are at least open to the idea of using disrespect as a verb.
I don't particularly like it. I don't use it myself, but it is a actually, if I'm not mistaken, disrespect as a verb. You know, if we were to look it up in the Oxford English Dictionary, my guess is that it goes way, way back. And it's just a word that was not used much. And then dis came into popularity in the late 80s. She's dissing me, meaning disrespecting me. It's not typical of literary language. It's hard to disapprove it very strongly. But it's also one of those things that snoots tend not to want to be using vogue words, words that are just suddenly on the tip of everyone's tongue. Snoots will tend to not use words like that, and dis happens to be one of them.
How do you think new words should be vetted before they're added to the dictionary? Because you can't really take one away once you've put it in there, can you?
Well, you can. In fact, lexicographers frequently put in one word in a dictionary that is false, that is just totally made up and has no historical basis at all. And they do it as a way of catching other lexicographers who are plagiarizing their work.
Oh.
It's an interesting thing. So those words come out. But it is a question of currency. How current is the word? Are people actually using it? If so, it's going to get in the dictionary. But then there's this question of usage. Is it worthy of use by snoots?
Brian Garner is my guest. You can join the conversation today at 1-800-933-5372. More importantly, we would love for you to join the station at 1-800-456-5372. Decide how much it's worth to you to make sure that a station in your area has programming like this that can be offered to you on a regular basis that you know you can count on. You can also join the station online. KERA.org is our website. We'll be back in just a minute.
Funding for Think is made possible by SMU Informal Courses for Adults, offering a chance to explore the world from the SMU campus. You can learn more online at smu.edu/think.
You're listening to Think on KERA 90.1. My name is Chris Boyd. I'm going to give you a very important phone number now, 1-800-456-5372. Perhaps you were not aware until just this moment that it is time for you to renew your membership. We need to hear from you. It really is important. And Ira Glass always says, you. I'm talking to you. I mean you specifically. If you're hearing my voice right now and you listen to the station and this is a part of your day and you think of yourself as a public radio person, then you're exactly the person that we are trying to reach when we talk about the importance of membership. It's not somebody else out there. It's not some, you know, millionaire. Whatever level of support works for you is fine with us, but we do need you as a member. 32 of you can call in the next few minutes and help us make our goals. Actually, we're down to 30. That still is a lot of people. That's about two people a minute. Be one of those people. Join for the first time. You won't believe how happy we'll be to hear from you when you call us. Ask the volunteers at 1-800-456-5372 about thank you gifts. We've told you that we have three of Brian Garner's books available at the $120 membership level. We also have a variety of other things if you want to join at a higher level and would still like to take a thank you gift, super. Look, if you don't want a thank you gift, we know not everybody needs something. That's fine too. We can put more of your contribution toward making sure that the station stays financially financially strong. We are down to 27. I feel momentum building, Brian. I wonder if we can somehow think of something really tricky and then give the answer to the people who are calling and making pledges right now. Perhaps we should not do that for the sake of all the people who've already called. But those of you who are calling and recognizing the importance of this program and wanting to let us know that you want this program to continue, that this is you're making really a financial contribution. You're also making a statement about the kind of programming that you value. If this is what you want to be able to listen to in the middle of your day, we need you to respond by calling 1-800-456-5372. We should, in a few minutes, do the answers to the quiz. Quickly, though, Wayne asks, is it correct to say graduate high school, or should it be graduate from high school?
Boy, that's one that's really undergone an interesting change. In the early 20th century, the debate was you were graduated from high school versus you graduated from high school. And the old snoots used to insist on the high school graduates the student. The student doesn't graduate the high school.
So like you'd evacuating have to, a building.
That's right.
Evacuating a person.
So you would say, I was graduated from such and such a high school in the 1920s and 30s. That's what snoots were saying. Then it became quite acceptable to say the student graduated from a high school. And then probably in the 1980s, people started dropping off the from and saying graduated high school. It's an example of the growing economy of the language, economy of words. Often you'll find a shortening of an expression. Email message to email is a good example, and then saying emails as opposed to email messages. The language tends to go always for the shorter, more economical expression.
1-800-933-5372 is our phone number. All right, should we do the answers to the quiz?
You bet.
All right, let's see. I have to, now I can't find where I wrote down. Okay.
Well, we had the three pronunciation ones, E-S-C-H-E-W, the adjective corresponding to paradigm, and the beheading instrument that starts with a G, popularized in the French Revolution.
Okay. The first one I would say, a shoe.
Should be eschew.
Eschew. Really?
Eschew. Yes, there's no shoe in
wow.
Eschew.
Okay.
But the other mispronunciation of that is eschew, some people say, but eschew. I will tell you, though, one of my favorite editors, John Trimble, deletes eschew everywhere it appears in a manuscript. He thinks it's a very sort of frilly word. So I tend to eschew the word.
I knew that was coming. Okay, for the second one, I don't know that I've ever actually used this word in conversation. I am not snooty enough, or snoot-like. Is that, how do you?
Snooty, I suppose.
Snooty, yeah. I suppose I would take my cue from enigmatic and say paradigmatic.
That's correct.
Okay.
I don't use it either, but it's interesting to know.
Oh, but you'll put it in a quiz for the rest of us
that's
to struggle
right.
through.
But okay. not bad to know how it's pronounced, just on the in the hypothetical situation, which you might need to.
Okay, and my favorite is the way you describe this word as the beheading machine beginning with G, as opposed to all the other beheading machines that begin with other alphabet letters.
That's right.
I'm assuming my background is far more Spanish than French, but I know the double L makes the Y sound in Spanish, but not in French, perhaps? I don't know. I've always heard guillotine, but perhaps it's guillotine?
It is, in fact, guillotine,
okay.
Preferably. And it was anglicized very early in the 18th century, guillotine, guillotine, guillotine. All the American and English authorities had it pronounced that way. In the early 20th century, this sort of pseudo-French pronunciation, guillotine, started being popularized. But even today, the pronunciation experts prefer guillotine.
By the way, we're halfway through the quiz and the answers. I would say that if any of these three things, or if in the quiz in the last hour, you were saving in your head trick, your favorite would be snoot, you should call and become a member right now. It's certainly worth $60 or $120 to be able to have this information to hold over someone else who thinks that they are an expert on words. And that number is 1-800-456-5372. Okay, moving on to the spelling portion of the exam.
You have three spelling quiz items, bullion, frolicking, and ecstasy.
Okay. Bullion as in the cube that you make soup with.
That's right.
Okay. B-O-U-L-L-I-O-N?
You got the I in the wrong place. It's a tricky one.
B-O-U-I-L-L-O-N.
Isn't that tricky?
I had it there, and then I stopped and started right, and I wrote it the other way. All right. Frolicking. Now, I know how to spell frolic, but I seem to remember having seen frolicking with two L's.
No.
Now I messed up. Okay. But it's F-R-O-L-I-C-K-I-N-G.
That's right, CK.
Okay.
That tricks some people. Picnicking also has a K in it.
Oh.
Frolicking and picnicking and politicking.
Are there any words that don't, that seem as though they should?
Icing.
Well, that's a totally different word. Okay. And ecstasy, I suppose it depends if you're talking about the state of being or the illicit party drug.
Well, I don't know if there's a separate spelling for the party drug. I don't... I hadn't thought about that. Surely they're both spelled the same. I mean, wouldn't it be nice to be able to stamp out the newer one? But what's the traditional spelling of ecstasy?
Okay. E-C-S-T-A. Well, I've seen it written both ways. I'm making myself crazy here. S-Y?
That's correct.
Okay, and the party drug is C-Y.
Is that true?
Yes, I believe I've seen it that way, but I maybe it's written
multiple
ways.
You just give me a little essay now that I have to write.
Check it out.
Yeah.
I think I noted once that a girl named Stacy that I knew in college was fond of ecstasy.
I'm just not sure that people who've taken the drug should be trusted for their spelling.
Probably not. That's probably not good spelling and grammar are probably not the things they value most, but you never know. 1-800-933-5372 is the telephone number if you'd like to join the conversation. We are down to 24 new or renewing members. This is certainly possible, but we are going to need you to call now and become a member of the station. Look, we've heard from so many of you about how much you enjoy the fact that we have guests like Brian Garner on. You will not turn on another radio station in this market and hear 2 hours of a guest of this caliber talking about a subject like this. There might be someone who used a four-letter word in public somewhere, and that would be the subject of great debate on certain other radio stations. But if you really want to talk about how words should be used, and if you value language as a tool, this is the place where you come for content. And it matters to us that you become a member of the station at 1-800-456-5372. You can choose the level at which you want to support the station. You become part of this group of people who really want to foster great communications about important things, people who value ideas, people who really want to continue learning throughout their lives. I always think it's amazing that you, the people who are in this audience, are so passionate about knowing what exists in the world. You know, you may not like every single guest that we have on this station, and I think that's great because you keep listening, and it means that you didn't come here to be told to think exactly like everyone here. You know that you want to understand what other people think as well. So there may be days where you agree 100%. There may be days where you disagree 100%, and you keep coming back. I think we have this amazing audience, and your support of the station is also really important to us so that we have the budget to make sure that we can bring you this programming. 1-800-456-5372 is the telephone number. We have a variety of thank you gifts. All the Black's Law dictionaries as thank you gifts have been taken, but we still have Brian Garner's Modern American Usage, and we also have the Oxford Dictionary of American Usage and Style as thank you gifts at the $120 level. Become a sustaining member, and that's $10 a month. That's really easy to do. You could do $20 a month and choose another kind of thank you gift. The volunteers on the phone know all about that. We are chipping away at our goal. We would love to hear from 21 of you by the top of this hour. That gives you, the individual, plenty of time, more than 6 minutes to do it. The call itself only takes about a minute and a half, so you won't really miss anything. You can also go online to kera.org and do it there. Let's see if we can have time perhaps for one more call, and then we have to go back to making sure that we will push you to join the station. Let's talk to, I just love the name of this city, Bruce in Cattle Mills. Hi, Bruce.
Hi, how are you doing?
Great, thank you.
Yes, ma'am. My question concerns the use actually, basically, and personally in sentences when it really seems no use for it. For example, I was in Dallas yesterday, but you'll hear people say, actually, I was in Dallas yesterday, or I believe in God or personally, I believe in God. There's, I don't know if that you would call that an intensifier, but it just seems redundant, and it drives me crazy when they say that. But it's, it seems like it's something that's very prevalent now in use. I don't know.
Well, let's find out if it makes Brian crazy. Thanks for your call, Bruce.
Okay.
Well, I agree with you. In polished speech and writing, you wouldn't find them so much. They are something like more learned verbal tics. It's certainly a step beyond like and you know at every turn. And I don't know if listeners have noticed this, but junior high school and high school kids here in Dallas are beginning to say actually. And in fact, you'll find grade schoolers saying actually. And it's almost surprising sometimes to hear a 10-year-old say actually so-and-so. So they are sort of space fillers. Personally, often you don't need if you're expressing an opinion. Basically is today often just a space filler. So I agree that it's a good idea to try to root them out.
Brian Garner is my guest. And Brian, I'm going to put you a little bit on the spot here. You're so great. You've come almost every year for several years now to help us raise money for the station. And I know that you live in this area. Why is this your choice for a place that you go for radio content as a snoot?
Well, you just have so many wonderful, wonderful guests. I think that the dialogue that we have locally on KERA every noontime is some of the greatest intellectual content that you can get as a member of this community. So, I mean, it's possible to go to lectures at SMU. It's possible to be a part of certain councils and foundations locally. But it's also possible when you're just driving around in the middle of the day to turn on your radio and find some subject really elucidated by some wonderful authority. And I've found it again and again, and I'm really surprised often at how much it's possible to be edified in just 1 hour, 2 hours.
Well, Brian Garner, it's been great to have you on here. And don't go anywhere. We do still have some copies of Garner's Modern American Usage and the Oxford Dictionary of American Usage and Style. There is still time to support this program this hour. We need 17 of you, if you can, to call right now. Really, that's a funny way to say it, because we just need you, the individual, to call. We need 17 people overall to help us make our goal for the number of people that will support Think in this hour. And then we will be able to move on to our next program. The phone number is 1-800-456-5372. Day to Day is coming up in just a minute. That's a great new show. We have a lot of really exciting things on the horizon here at 90.1. You're a big part of that. 53% of our support comes from listeners, not just from big giant corporations, but from people who think, yeah, you know, I listen every day, or I listen 3 or 4 times a week, or there's a program that I never miss. We hear from so many of you, and you tell us how much you value the service, and we are really, really proud of that. But what matters to us most at the end of the day, if you have drunk the Kool-Aid, actually, is your financial support. 1-800-456-5372 is our phone number. You can also do it online at kera.org. There are easy ways to check out what the thank you gifts are. If you already own Brian Garner's books, then you can join the station and choose a different thank you gift. Of course, you don't have to take a thank you gift. We joke around here sometimes, you know, you might need another coffee mug, like you need a hole in the head. I could use a couple more of both, I think. We are down to 15 people to make our goal. Be one of those people. As you hear the numbers counting down, it's sort of exciting to know that you have added to this momentum. 1-800-456-5372 is the phone number. If today you learned something listening to Brian Garner and you really enjoyed the hour, several of you have said you're members because of guests and programs just like the one we've just had. If you listen to the station because of the program that we have just had, why have you not become a member? Stop and sort of defend it to yourself in your head and say, I absolutely refuse to be a member because, and I'm wondering if you can think of a good reason why. If we came to your door, if Jeff Whittington came knocking on your door and said, would you please become a member? You would not be able to refuse him, the senior producer of Think, this show. But sometimes it's just a matter of our ability to look you in the eye and ask. And unfortunately, we're not able to do that just yet, but we are, let's see, we have a $240,000 goal. We'll be back to regular programming just as soon as we hit that. So be part of the team of people that makes that possible quickly. 1-800-456-5372. Get connected, stay involved, be part of this formula that matters. Be part of public radio, because this really is your station. We are, let's see, wow, down 22% of our goal, so that we have 78% to go. That is really, really good. Thanks to every single one of you who has picked up the phone this hour, and thanks to those of you who right now are picking up the phone to call 1-800-456-5372. You guys matter. You're the ones who make it happen. Brian Garner, thank you so much.
Always a pleasure.
Think is produced by Jeff Whittington and engineered by Jeannie Mascoro, with production assistance from Maggie Conklin. Learn about upcoming programs, subscribe to our free daily podcast, and order CD copies of your favorite Think shows on the radio page of KERA.org. And we'd like to hear what you think about Think. Email your comments, questions, and suggestions to think@KERA.org.
Support for this public radio podcast comes from Acura, featuring the completely redesigned 300-horsepower MDX. More information is available at Acura.com.